Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Greetings to our audience, and that's what I'm legging to you, Brother Bilal.
Greetings, my Brother Aziz. How are you this evening?
Doing well, brother. Looking forward to our show tonight.
Yep, back from vacation, so I guess we got a little energetic, a little more energetic.
And so, yes, absolutely.
So it's an open mic. So those who call in, and we'll put out that call-in number, those of you who wish to call in, our call-in number is 657-383-1372. That's 657-383-1372. And you will be able to speak live right through our studio to our listening audience. So network marketing and business association, that's what our association is all about. And Brother Aziz, our topic tonight is the power of the black and to buy land. You know?
Yeah.
That topic, Brother Aziz, not saying I'm the one who came up with it, but that topic came to me after being on vacation and observing a huge amount of monies that those who have land, especially you can call them farmers or what have you, but those who have land and the huge amount of monies, land and the produce that you can get off the land, has earned these communities. And the amazing thing about it is this huge ownership of land was bought and owned by religious organizations, entire communities. And the religious organizations I'm talking about right now is those that we call the Quakers, or the ones ride around. You see them in the horse and buggies and stuff like that. These folks carry a huge amount of economical power, and they do it because they, as a community, as a religious community, all of them work together. You've been there before, Aziz, as the Lancaster, Pennsylvania,
the Amish.
Well, those same Amish in Delaware, especially right there in Dover, Delaware, they just about bought up all the huge farmers in that particular area. It was someone, I didn't get confirmation on it, but it was to my understanding that they paid more than $680 billion and bought up just about everything around there, huge farms. To watch productivity that's coming from the ownership of that land is astonishing. And I am saying, not only the Amish are in powerful positions like that from ownership of land, but other religious groups the Methodists. I'm not talking about black ones. I'm talking about many of the white religious communities. They also buy and grow their communities all together. But I look at the huge amount of monies that we as African Americans bring in as a community, and I look at the huge amount of monies that we spend, then I look at the ownership compared to that huge amount of monies all these religious folks bring, these religious communities bring in. I look at the ownership of that huge amount of monies, including the African-American community, when I say huge amount of monies. But all the other communities have huge assets, land, banks, all the grocery stores and commercial departments. These merchants and this business flow comes from communities that invest in communities. And when it comes to being on having the influence of the communities, and usually I looked into it and I found that most of these community participants, when it comes to banking, they don't necessarily own the banks. The armies don't necessarily own the banks in Dover, but they're on the boards of all the directors of the banks. So, again, when a decision is made, they're right there making the same thing do with other community groups. They all put their monies into the banks, and they all are on the board of directors as to how distributions of the monies are to be made out of from the bank. I have yet to see any African Americans even working as tellers in the bank, let alone being on the board of directors and saying how the distribution of money should be made from the bank. But at the same time, we deposited, and they're saying close to $1 trillion in these banks just from our religious deposits throughout the nation. But yet and still, I don't see where we have any say over our own money. As a matter of fact, an African-American go to the bank and has been going to the bank for years talking about a business loan, and in many cases you've been denied because they said your paperwork, your business plan, in other words, wasn't in order, the bank in order, as to where they could even consider giving you a loan because your financials are not in order.
Right.
But yet and still, our monies are setting into these huge, of going into these banks every week, a huge amount of monies. And if our financials are not in order, what are they doing with our monies? Are they putting it in an escrow until our financials are in order? Well, we know that that's not true. No, they're using our monies and getting rich, and their communities are getting richer, and it's been going on like that now for over 100 years. Brothers and sisters, we must own first land. And from that land, grow our communities. Now, many of us, there are many African-American communities that we can consider still in existence. I say consider because we're losing ground. And if we don't do something very proactive, we're going to lose all ground. But right now, the communities that we do have, and those are the communities that we integrated from and integrated into, what we considered the better communities, which was the white communities. And by doing so, our black communities are devalued because you don't see any commerce at all going on in the black communities. So, therefore, if there is no commerce, there is no value in your communities. So, but we put all the values into a community that simply take our monies and then say there is we can't get it back because, again, the our financials are not in order. Well, we don't need our financials in order. We're depositing almost $1 trillion, and the bank trillions of dollars should be coming back to our communities. At least billions of dollars should be coming back to our communities. But there is nothing coming back. That's because we don't put ourselves in a position to have any say over our own money. We are not on the board of directors. Why not? Why aren't these ministers and why aren't the communities outraged, saying that if our monies is going into the banks, we should have directors in the bank saying how our monies are being, and we should be in there saying that right along with the other committees that make up the directors of these banks and institutions. We should be on those committees. We have every right. Our monies is there. No one should be saying how our money should be distributed without our presence, but we don't make any bones about that. We continue to put our monies in and ask any questions and make no demands, and that's why you're just right. being simply taken for a ride. And you've been taken for that ride by hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars, and it's been going on there for over 100 years. Brothers and sisters, we have a powerful dollar, extremely powerful dollar. But if we don't start taking and demanding how our dollars are distributed, then we're not going to be nothing but just servants. Financial service to this country, and that's something that we've been ever since we've been here. So that's my start off, Brother Aziz, on the subject of the black dollar and the subject of owning land and the importance of owning land. And like I said, our mics are going to be open for those who do come in, but that's, like I said, is my opening comments. I'll turn it over to you, Brother Aziz.
Thank you, Brother Bilal. I wanted to comment on the black dollar first as you were discussing, talking about the value of the black dollar. I wanted to say that one of the ways that we can assure that our black dollar goes somewhere where we can put it and it could be utilized back for the community or in the community for needs, is through our black leadership, if we have any black leadership. We have NAACP and other organizations that are supposedly out there being vocal for African Americans, but according to the system, American system, these organizations cannot do any marketing of African-American businesses such as the banks. Because if we had leaders such as the ministers of each church, Methodist, Baptist, or whatever, these African-American leaders, if they could tell the congregations in that the value of them in putting their monies in certain banks and how it would benefit the community, that's you know, that's one of the good ways to get a good start. But right now in America, there are, if I could be corrected, but I think there are 26 African American banks are still in existence. There was at one time 58, but there's 26 of them, I believe, in existence now. But they don't have enough depositors to just loan money out in a way wherein it can really be beneficial to the African American community. Let alone they don't attract that many African American depositors. And we haven't heard any of the leadership in the area that we live in, Baltimore Island, Maryland, and D.C. and Virginia. We haven't heard from any of the so-called African-American media anything about supporting or the black banks that we know of, one of them industrial. None of these banks have really made it known that they exist in that fashion or manner, or come out in the community and said, hey, let's do this. That would even give us a better black platform to support these entities. One, if we knew they exist, and two, then something to rally around and actually put our funds in and see how they work. You know, we know nothing is going to happen overnight, but as you mentioned, something that is really critical. We're not just asking, we wouldn't be asking people just to come and put their monies on there and see how it works. We're talking about, as you said, Brother Bilal, having someone or somebodies in the community that's on that board of directors, that's working on that board to help make decisions on things that go on. Then we have some activity in the community. Then those representatives can go around to the big African-American organization, whether they're a church or some other fraternity or sorority or other type of organization, as the Masons, the Shriners, all different types of men and women organizations that we have in our communities that would be willing to put their funds somewhere if they knew they could be trusted. Because as we know, there are African-Americans, especially in the Washington metropolitan area, that's got a lot of money, that's millionaires, but they ain't opening their mouths, and they're sure enough not showing their pocketbooks to nobody. However, if they felt secure that there was a bank, an African-American bank that existed around where they could put their deposits, and it would be safe in the way that they're handling their funds. And what I mean by that, not losing money, but in terms of helping finance projects in the community that's going to help the community grow, provide finance these new businesses and things that would actually be given to members in the community. But we're seeing our communities fastly, you know, deteriorating to the point to wherein you look around in the communities, not communities no more. And we got to stop this, because we could be like many of the African countries where they have a whole country, not just a small community. They have whole countries where Europeans are coming over from, you know, from Europe, coming over to a place where they don't even have a stronghold and establishing a stronghold. They're making deals like this company, the Wagner Group, that was working with the Russians at first and doing things in the Ukraine in terms of the military, that Wagner Group. And you come to find out one of the biggest things that Wagner paramilitary group is doing is they're supporting dictators or governments in Africa. In return, they're not getting paid any cash. They're getting paid for having control over the diamond and the gold mine. And in the dictators or the leaders, they get their share of the kitty or the booty or the riches that's coming out of there. So when it's time to book up, they got the funds somewhere sitting up waiting on them, and all they got to do is get out of there before the collapse of that government and a new one takes place. And it's a cycle with them, but for with us, it's not a cycle because things have been going one way in specific in the African-American community. And that one way is trying to destroy, take away from, or, you know, be an obstacle in any growth in our communities. And by that being that way, that's what we see happening in our community today. But it's not just the leaders that have to do that. Any of our listeners that are listening in that, you can seek out in the communities where you live to see if there's any African-American banks in your community, or the bank that is serving your community, do they have any community members on the board? Who's the board made up of? That's one of the things to see if there's anybody, any African-Americans on the board, period. You know, all those things are important when it comes to how the black dollar is spent and how it's circulated back in the community, if it's circulated at all, you know, instead of having it circulated in the community only a few hours, and then it's gone, and then that's it. Everything else is going out of the community. So when it's like that there, it doesn't leave much room for improvement in the community, improvement in a number of things. But that black dollar, that's how important it is. And if we can ever be able to come to that situation, or we can come to that conclusion that it is best that we do put our monies into these banks and African-American banks if we can find them. And for starters, when you're looking for more than what you get when you're taking it to these Caucasian banks, and that you got to give the bank a little chance, because when you're looking for more and you're going to these Caucasian banks and getting nothing ever, been doing it for years, give the new African-American bank a chance to set up, get its membership going, and you're getting the same services you get from a European bank or a Caucasian bank, only in due tab, and we're talking about a short period, less than a year, the bank will be able to offer a multiplicity of services to its depositors. So that's, you know, those are ways to really get into helping you know, money circulate in our community and people in the community that want to open up a business before someone else comes and open up businesses in our community and again haul the money away. Then the bank can be able to do that then, because that's what community banks and communities do. You know, loan money to community businesses to help them grow and maintain their status in the neighborhood or in the community. Land is a major thing. In many of the northern cities, our people don't own a whole lot of land whatsoever. But down south, we're talking about in Maryland and all the way on down to Florida, stretching out to Texas, Oklahoma, those areas, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, Louisiana, Mississippi, South, North Carolina, Georgia. All of these areas, African Americans own massive amounts of land, and it's farmland. Rich black soil is Brother Bilal has mentioned before, the Black Belt. Talking about soil, agricultural production, livestock. All of this here is the heart of keeping America alive with food as well as money, the export business. A lot of people don't know one of the biggest pork producers in the country down in Virginia have been bought up by Chinese. They buy up big agricultural businesses in America to have all that product sent back to their country primarily. And, you know, the Americans get them, you know. So people, I'll put it this way, people, a lot of people, especially in this area, buy those Smithfield hams and all that. And Smithfield is a big major pork producer. So that company sold on out. It sold out to the Chinese. Another American icon that you see a lot of, the so-called bad white boys riding around on their motorcycle gang, Harley Davidson. Harley Davidson is not owned by Americans anymore. The name is, but the product isn't. The motorcycles and all that, no. Just the name. And they kept the name so that it could be just something, you know, that they said that's still an own American-owned name, but not American-owned company and what the company produced. So, you know, so America, a lot of stuff is sold off in America like that. And a lot of companies are buying land down south. Automobile manufacturers, Hyundai, Kia, Mercedes-Benz, Toyota. Matter of fact, Toyota and Honda have a plant in Alabama that's butting up against one another. One of them own half of the facility, another own another half of the facility. They figured that would be a good deal for them to buy this massive amount of land, something like 20,000 acres of land that they have. And they gutted and cutted it out, had the land cleared, and they have their production plants there. And a lot of that land was farmland, too, where they didn't have to clear it up. They bought a lot of the farmland from people and that. So African-Americans that own farmland and things like that, we've got to be able to keep that land because that land is valuable. Food is a necessity in this country. It's a major necessity. And, again, if we don't have any land in that, we really won't have any value as a people because it's the landowners that really matter when it comes to voting what happens and what doesn't happen. And it's the landowners that really provide mostly everything that we need when it comes to living. Food, shelter, clothing. All these things come from owning land, the farmers, the agriculturists. So any African-Americans that own land in that, or you have family that own land in that, we should try our best to have them hold on to that land. Don't sell it. Don't get rid of it. It could be put to usage. I know for a matter of fact that an organization like the Black Farmers Association in Alabama, I know that like many areas where you go and it's farming, a lot of farming going on, you'll be driving on the road and you'll see tractors out there on the highway, and they'll be moving from one farm field to another farm field, a massive farm field. People sometimes get angry back out there on the back roads because sometimes you can't go around them like you want them, and you know, and they're holding up traffic. But what my point is, those farmers, because farm equipment is so expensive, a lot of the farmers, a great majority of the farmers belong to what they call a co-op. And they do a farm a lot of the similar or same product. And in the process of doing this, they found by belonging to a co-op, it made the equipment more affordable and easier to manage or maintain by this equipment being owned by a group. And, of course, the farmers would do what they have to do in plowing the fields and that, and the equipment go back, it will go to the next farmer that needed to use it, as well as them having a maintenance place where they could maintain that equipment. Well, the Black farmers in Alabama, I know of, they have that same agreement with a number of them, wherein they share different farm equipment. They share it, and that lightens their burden on trying to own four or five different pieces of equipment. And every one of these pieces of equipment, you know, they cost up in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, like. And that could be real burdensome on the finances of a farmer trying to deal with the prices that, you know, that when he goes to the livestock or the agriculture market, try to sell them. So, you know, that's some of the values of maintaining and keeping our land and not just running it off, especially our youth. And these are ideas that we have to let our youth know that, you know, some of the elderly, when we leave, we depart and return to the Creator, that we have to leave with the idea you shouldn't sell your land, because once you do and put all that money in your pocket, it's going to disappear. But that land is going to be there when you're dead and gone, and the new owners are dead and gone, and their children dead and gone. But the value will still be there for a multi-purpose use. So it's ideal, you know, keep that land. You don't know what it might be utilized for, and, you know, it's valuable. But, Brother Bilal, what I wanted to ask you about, Brother, was something critical that I thought we both needed to be talking about, and this is right down your alley, too, as a financial planner. From what I understand, from what I've read in the last day, that the American credit rating has fell down to the worst ever. And when our credit rating as a country, which we've never heard before, our credit rating as a country then fell down, that we're below other countries in the world, like that America the Great shouldn't have nothing happen to it like that. How in the world did something like that happen? What is it, the deficit that drew us down like that, or what, my brother?
No. Our credit rating went from a AAA to a AA+. The first time since World War II, our credit rating went from a AAA. The reasons our credit ratings went down, number one, is because of the way Americans live. And it starts with our Constitution. When you have an insurrection in your country, and when you have after an insurrection, and that insurrection is a human hate, all of the guns and the uncontrolled way that we're killing each other, and on top of that, you have an insurrection, and I'm from this insurrection. You have millions that support such an insurrection, and you even have a president of this country that idea and sort of made that insurrection. Police officers died from it. Over 1,700 police officers wounded or disabled. You have your legislators, one on one side saying this is being done right. Then the other ones are saying, we are opposed to everything you're doing. Rather than trying to work together and do federal legislation, we are against each other. You have a Supreme Court and a justice system, which is saying laws are unfair in the way that they are seeing it. So it's our cultural way of living, and that cultural way of living to the world that does the credit ratings, and those credit ratings are basically only one you have in the United States is AM Best, but all the other credit ratings are from other different parts of the world, mainly Europe and some other financial powers, Japan and China and all of them. But the rest of the world downgraded our credit rating from a AAA to a AA because of the we're not stable in our, let's say, if you want to call it a culture, but our way of life is like almost saying an inhumane way of life. And so that's why the credit rating went down from a AAA to we live a sort of an unfair, and our Constitution with that January the 6th happening, that's like it's still going on. And so that's why our credit rating went down. It wasn't, it had nothing to do with our economy. It had to do with our overall way of life. And and that's why you'll see our credit ratings are going down, and it's telling the world that we're not as stable as one might think. You know, one might think. So that's the falling of you. And now I can say this: once a credit rating go down like that, it just don't just go back up. It's going to take a while, if you can ever raise that credit rating back to a 3%, I mean a 3A rating, it's going to take some time for that to happen. It won't be in a few months. It'll probably be a few years or so, because, like I said, our way of life and everything that's going on in our democracy is very uncertain. They're saying that we have a country that there might not even be a democracy. It could be just a civil war. Could be all kinds of conflicts here in the United States from the way we live. And that's what the rest of the world, the financial world, is looking at. And this is why it's so important. I have to speak for African-Americans because I am an African-American. And living in a society where the color of your skin matters, this is why we are living in such a barbaric almost way of life now, is because of racism and white supremacy
and greed.
A multitude of things you can attach to that. But as far as our subject this evening, this is why we are in a position where if we don't start financial independent powers, because we have too many fraudulent things going on in the black community. Fraudulent, when you said something about African American growth and the NAACP and this organization or the black churches or whatever, we as African Americans are fraudulent against each other. The ones who are in charge of our financial monies, deposits, are the same, are stealing monies from the black communities, and after they steal and take as much as they want to take, because they can't take it all because our deposits are too big for them to take it all. They can take hundreds of billions, and our deposits will still be very large, so they can't take all the monies that comes into their organizations, and yes, I'm talking about the black church and some mass chats too. But the black church is the huge one. And I know for sure, I've been to the banking organization. I've had meetings with the banking organizations. And I know for sure the same way we can sit here and think and point the finger at the white man is taking our monies because we put our monies into his banks and we're not able to get it back. That's just not true. We are able to get it back. But in order to get the monies back, it must the same churches that made the deposits are the same churches that have to go to the banks and say, now we want millions of dollars back in our community for whatever reasons. And when I say whatever reasons, and like I said, what I'm saying now, I know for a fact, the white bankers told me to my face, and it wasn't me, it was a collective group of us. At that time, we was the Muslims Business Association. Around 2005, we confronted the SBA, the Small Business Administration, and all of the bankers that that sponsors the Small Business Administration. And these bankers and the Small Business Administration all go around and talk about the programs for their communities and the monies that they can allocate into these programs. And at the same time, I heard a 3-hour presentation for the Small Business Administration, along with all of these here national banks, all got to say that why we can't get monies back out of their banks for business uplifted, and how our paperwork, financials are not in order and what have you. But I was the one at the end of their speech, and they're denying us and telling us why they're denying us. When they asked for questions at this huge auditorium, and by the way, this was sponsored by the preachers of Southern Maryland. The preachers of, they call them preachers of Southern Maryland. This is all the churches throughout Prince George's County and all the counties all over the southern parts of Maryland. They're the ones who sponsored the SBA and these bankers, and these bankers was trying to impress the black communities by having these ministers bring the black community together to them where they could speak. these, like I said, at the end of their presentation, of saying why we, what we need to do to be able to get our monies and to advance in our communities, I asked the question, if our financials are not in order for us not to receive funds from their banks, what do they do with our monies? Do you put those monies in an escrow? Are you putting our monies in an escrow as to where these monies stay in an escrow until our financials are in order? Oh, just what are you doing with our monies until our monies can be, until we can receive our monies when our paperwork is in order? The banks at that time, rather than answering that question to the general public where I had asked it, they said they were getting ready to take a lunch break, and they would answer that question when they got back from lunch. It was about noon at the time when I asked the question. So they said they were going to take a lunch break, and they immediately adjourned and said they was taking a break. In the meantime, because when I stood up and asked the question, they wanted to know what church were we from, and we told them we wasn't from any church. We was from Masjid Muhammad, New Africa, the American Muslims Business Association. And so at that point, they adjourned, and they asked our group, sort of in secret, not in secret, but not where everybody else could hear, they walked over to us, and they asked if they could have a meeting with us in reference to our question. But they wanted a private meeting, and I was a spokesperson. And I tell them, no, we would not entertain a private meeting. Our question was asked in public. We wanted our question answered in public. Well, the banker said, we're not coming back for the afternoon session. We won't be answering any more questions. We're getting ready to leave. He said, but to answer your question, and he answered my question, our question, right there in front of those southern of black Christians who sponsored them to be there. He said, the same way you point the fingers at white supremacists or point the fingers at our banks is who has been white folks who are holding up your monies. He said, that is just not true. And he said it right in front of those black ministers. He said, you see that group over there who sponsored us to come here? He said, those guys can come into our banks. And I'm saying you had every bank in D.C. that you can think of, all the big ones, all of them. And he said, those ministers, those preachers, the whole group of them, any of them can come into our banks, and any of them can, we'll write a check for anything they ask for. They come in and they do ask. They'll take $10 million, $15, $20 million out of the accounts at any time they want to. And he said, we don't deny them anything. He said, but the thing about it, he has never known any of those black ministers who come in and take millions of dollars out of the account. After they, he said, he's never known any of them to ask for any monies, any millions of dollars, to come back into the black communities for growth. They only ask for monies for themselves and their own personal growth. And that's me. And he said, so we're not the ones who are denying the African Americans money to come back to them. These are preachers who control your money. In other words, these preachers are doing just as much damage to our communities as white supremacists. Matter of fact, they're doing more damage because they're the ones who are ripping the black communities off, not the white folks. It's our own people that's doing the stealing from each other. So that's why you don't see any of our monies coming back in. And as far as the Black Farmers Association, Sister Aisha is not with us tonight. I know she spoke with you in reference, but she did get in touch with some representatives down in South Carolina where they own quite a bit of farms. And a matter of fact, their family down there, I think, what do you call that, Geechee communities that's huge in agriculture and a community you can be very proud of. Her family is a part of that community, and they own a land. As a matter of fact, one of their specialties is cotton. Mm-hmm. And when you start talking about what you were talking about a little earlier, Aziz, black farmers and their production in the South and the land that they have, you see, when they grow a produce, when they grow their produce and sell the market men are millermen, the millerman. And the millerman is giving them such a low amount of monies on their product until they're breaking even. So when you start talking about pounds of cotton and or what have you, and you're talking about paying 60 cents on a pound, what you're paying the farmers, and then of course you know cotton is the biggest commodity in the world. So I mean selling cotton is easy, and you can sell it very high. So the millerman and normally the Jews are white supremacists, but it makes no difference. White folks are white folks, and they're going to be ripping us off, and they're ripping us off.
Right.
And so again, that's what I mean about owning. But when you own the land, and you do, and you see what I was seeing, the power. See, when you own the land, and why have a millerman? If the millerman is not working, you need to get rid of the millerman and do your own marketing. You don't let somebody market it for you, market it your product, and steal from you. A millerman is somebody that should be working for you. So if the millerman is doing a job and your profits, get rid of the millerman. And have your own markets. African Americans don't have created those markets. So again, we have. So that's why your black farmers and your black farmers associations. But there are so many problems with the black farmers associations. First of all. Black Farmers Association, as far as I am concerned and what I'm beginning to learn, is being ripped off. But the reason they're being ripped off is because they don't have financial planners working with them. They don't have CPAs and estate planners working with them. They went in there as farmers, and they went to the government and tried to be their own lobbyists and tried to be their own negotiators. And they went up against professionals, and they themselves wasn't professionals. And this is the things that have happened to them is pathetic. Some of them even thought they was getting grants. And at the end of the year, the government was saying they were giving them grants, but at the end of the year, the government was sending them 1099s. And those 1099s means we money that you can't pay back, and now the internal revenue at some point is going to start coming, taking your properties. This is what happens when you don't take care of your own financial matters in your own communities. So that's what's happening as far as I'm concerned with the Black Farmers Association. They are just, they're not using the professionals that they should be using in the huge negotiations, especially when they start dealing with the Department of Commerce. And again, that's what I mean about African Americans hurting themselves by I can do it without being a professional or having a professional that should be doing it. And so until we stop intentionally, and those are those preachers taking, they know who they are. I'm trying to say, who aren't they, is my question, because the males and the females all saying, everybody you see in the Black community now is a preacher, male and female. Everybody's they're trying to do more preaching and getting into the business, because that's all it is, a great big business of being a preacher, rather than saying, I'm going to open up a commercial store, because it's easier to lie to folks about God and sell his word and make money, rather than opening a store and doing all the marketing and everything else you need in order to get your clientele up off the ground and making a profit. So we do a lot of damage to ourselves, but it still doesn't stop the power of the blessings of Almighty God subhanahu Allah has blessed us, and he's still blessing us every day when we wake up. And as far as our economy and our economics, we are the most richest, the highest income Africans in the entire world is right here in America. But what we're doing as far as a community, our nation growth, we're giving it right back to the white supremacists who hate us and controlling us. So, Brother Aziz, we don't have a large audience this evening. We're coming up to 1 hour, so I don't think we'll go to second hour because our attendance is just not that great. And
okay.
We're going to have it as a one-hour show. I'll let you have a closing word, and we'll close on out. Brother Aziz.
Yes, thank you, Brother Lyle. I was going to say, again, you know, what you're saying about the Black farmers and that, that's something, you know, they have little Black farmers groups in each different state. And one of the major, another thing they need to do, brother, in terms of come up under one association. And as you said, get all the right legal help and everything. Have all the cases presented, as you know, and I'm sure to get much more bigger results than, you know, individuals up there trying to fight up on Capitol Hill and people getting a little bit of money at a time, others not getting anything. They knowing that so-and-so and them got this and we ain't got nothing yet. Wherein I guarantee that the Ukraine, all the money they got went to one damn source, and that money was divided up. And all I'm saying is, if it was that way with our Black farmers and they had that representation that you said, the legal representation, they could go a lot further and be successful. So we hope that somebody from them are listening to us, or eventually that bell will ring for them and attention will be put in that direction. So thank you, brother. And I hope and those that are listening to us. We look forward to you talking to you next week.
And that, with that said, we're saying good evening. Peace.
Thank you.